listeners, this is Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. I am your host, Zach Gandra, and with me as always is the inimitable Steve Gandra. How are you, Steve?
I finally decided after all of these radio shows that I was going to wear that label, inimitable.
Inimitable.
So every day I wake up in the morning and say, how can I be inimitable,
inimitable today?
How can I even pronounce the word today?
You know, the more gray you get, the more inimitable you become.
There you go.
So what's new today? So, you're wearing a button-down collared shirt and looking a little like a banker, but
so
not quite.
So that's because... inimitability goes with gray hair.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Inimitability.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah. Well, it's a word because you invented it.
Yeah.
And I added to it.
Okay. Well, as we get going on the show today, if you like wine, you should listen to the show today.
Well, now, if you like good wine.
If you like good wine, yeah, you should listen to the show.
If you're a wine connoisseur, you should listen to
the show. If you are a non-wine drinker, you should also listen to the show today because we have a wonderful guest and entrepreneur on the show today, and we're going to introduce him in just a second. But, Steve, before we get there, let's get to the important facts. What's your favorite wine?
My favorite wine is a blend of Cabernet and Merlot. I like the red stuff.
The red stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes a good Pinot.
A good Pinot.
Yeah, a good
Interesting.
Pinot.
I'm a Malbec guy if I'm drinking wine. Seriously, no joke. I like a good Malbec. And if I'm,
You were a beer guy.
Oh, well, you know, we're talking about a wine. It's a wine show today. I can't bring beer into that. So.
That's good.
So, you know, if I'm a Malbec guy, and then, you know, per dessert, a nice port or sherry is pretty good. But I'm not a big fan of the white wine. So, you know, there you go. So anyways, our guest today, Steve, you're going to introduce him, but I just want to say that this is the first rocket scientist, now wine entrepreneur that we've ever had on the show.
I don't think we've ever had a rocket scientist.
I don't think a nuclear
rocket scientist.
Nuclear rocket
scientist. You
know, scientist.
So you'll find out when we introduce Don that, you know, he had a life-changing experience when he decided to stop contributing to blowing the world up and start contributing to, you know, helping everybody have nice wines and enjoy peaceful experiences with the nice wines from Icicle Ridge Winery.
Absolutely. So we want to welcome Don Wood from Icicle Ridge Winery, owner and winemaker. If we had a clap track, it would be going right now.
We would play it now.
Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you so much, guys. Hey, I'm hoping that by the end of this show, I myself have a five-syllable adjective.
Incredible. Incredible.
Maybe it's inevitable that I'm here.
Yeah.
Inevitably inedible.
Who knows? So, Don, tell our listeners, I mean, I'm so impressed with your business and kind of the, you know, the divine moment that you had to make a transition from nuclear rocket scientist to, you know, winemaker. Tell everybody about the work you do at Icicle Ridge and, you know, your team and your culture and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, first of all, I should say it was the biggest surprise and the biggest adventure of my life to embark on this business called Icicle Ridge Winery. It happened quite by accident, in my opinion, at least as far as my efforts go, it was quite by accident. And 12 years into our little business, I'm just shocked and honored and humbled to be part of it. It's been a wild ride for me. If I had the time, I could spend the next 2 to 3 hours telling you about the intensity of my adventure, but we'll shorten it up. And so I do operate Icicle Ridge Winery here in Leavenworth, Washington, actually just outside Leavenworth in a little tiny suburb of Leavenworth called Peshaston. So we live in a little town of 600 people out in the rural pear-growing area around Leavenworth, Washington. And we have a gorgeous property that turns out it's just perfect for growing wine grapes.
I can safely say in 31 years of living in Washington, I've never heard of Peshaston. Did I say it right?
You said it exactly right, Peshaston.
Peshaston. Yeah. Leavenworth, you go for German hot dogs
and great
beer.
Wine. And great wine,
yeah, you know, the interesting thing about Leavenworth is people know it so well for its Bavarian theme. Of course,
it's
how the town was rescued 35 years ago from its dying logging town situation. And now that it's a vigorous tourist town, there's so much more to offer than the Bavarian.
Yeah, there really, really is.
While that's a big draw, there's the outdoor life here, the cultural centers here, It's at a really amazing spot. In fact, Leavenworth happens to be the second most visited location in Washington State, outside Pike Place Market.
Wow!
Wow!
That doesn't shock me actually, because Leavenworth is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, can you go into some of the story a little bit? Like, what was so annoying about being a nuclear scientist, rocket science, that you went winery?
No, the truth is, I was really enjoying my career as a research scientist. My specialty is actually in the nuclear field, excuse me, and I was doing some really great research projects with foreign scientists, traveling to Europe often, doing some really innovative things in the nuclear field, and my father-in-law called me back in late 1999 and rocked my world. He called me and asked me if I would leave my career and join him here on the pear farm. To help take over my wife's family's farm. At that moment, I'll never forget the few words he said, because I said, well, his name is Lou. I said, well, Louie, I kind of have a career going here, so what would be in this opportunity for me? And he literally said the following, well, you could drive my tractor. And
nice.
I immediately laughed, just like you did, and I said, well, that's just not going to work for me. As much as I'd love to drive your tractor, there's just no way that can happen.
And so Lou is your father-in-law, right?
Lou's my father-in-law, yep. He has three beautiful blonde daughters, and I met the oldest one when I was an undergraduate at a small college in southwest Idaho. And we got married in 1990. Had no idea that moment would change my life so much. Mm. But the short story is, after a few weeks of considering what he proposed, I told my wife, I just simply cannot wake up every morning the rest of my life and doubt my decision. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So she and I talked about it, and through a lot of consideration and prayer, we decided that I just had to take this leap of faith. So we bailed on my career, came to Peshawson, Washington, and started growing pears with my father-in-law. It quickly turned into winemaking after that as a hobby, and the rest is history.
What do you are you guys still in the pear business at all?
We are. We have about 35 acres of land here. Approximately 11 acres are planted now in vinifera, which is the Latin word for the wine grape. So we have 11 acres of wine grapes, and then the rest are planted still in pears.
So all one kind of grapes, or are they several different varieties?
Yeah, we're really
varieties?
Pioneering grape growing in this valley. So we've test planted many varieties. We find the ones that are growing really, really well are the colder climate varieties, such as Chardonnay and Gewürztraminer. We have some Riesling that's doing really well.
White wines.
But we also make big reds. We buy about 85% of our grapes still from other vineyards all around the state of Washington. So we buy grapes from some of the greatest vineyards in Washington State and make big Merlots and Cabs and Syrahs. And in fact, I heard you mention Malbec earlier. I fermented my first Malbec this last fall. Very excited about that.
Awesome. Was it delicious?
It is at this moment. It's only 6 months old. Fermentation.
So you can't really drink it yet. I forget about that.
Oh, it's very drinkable.
Is it?
It would fool your palate. It's delicious, but we're, of course, going to wait until this time next year to bottle that wine.
Awesome. That's super cool. Great. I know nothing about the wine process, so as you can tell, I'm like...
So tell us more about the business side of Icicle Ridge. You know, we know that you made the transition from pears to grapes
right. To
now wine. What's going on with Icicle Ridge Winery these days?
Can I go ahead and just say we'll do a quick break right now, and then we'll come back with that?
Okay.
Just for sake of time. We are on the air, or you are on the air, with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com, and we're with Don Wood, and we'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate, bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters and ExcellentCultures.com. Those of you who listen to the show frequently and regularly would know that we're always looking for business leaders who are all about demonstrating how the good guys can win. And we're talking to a great guy today, Don Wood from Icicle Ridge Winery here in Washington State. And Don, we're just about to tell us about the business at Icicle Ridge. Go ahead, Don.
Well, the thing about our business that is so unique is that it really has grown organically out of our personalities. So when we opened our doors for business in September of 2002, we literally were a two-barrel winery. We had just a few bottles bottled, and we really felt like we might not ever sell a bottle of wine. We might just have to give it all away someday because the wine industry here in this little valley was so brand new, and Washington wine industry was brand new, and we didn't really know what the future held. So we started hosting our first guests for wine tasting inside my father-in-law's home, which is this gorgeous 5,000-square-foot log home that he personally hand-carved.
That's a big log house.
It's a great log home, and it's breathtaking. When you walk inside this tasting room, it sort of takes your words away for a few minutes. It's absolutely gorgeous. My father-in-law is a very creative gentleman, hardest-working guy I've ever met, and he took 6 years hand-carving logs for his dream home.
Wow.
Which eventually turned into our tasting room. So in those early days, we started hosting a few guests a week at his kitchen table. And so it really grew organically out of an honest approach to hospitality. We were welcoming people in our home to do wine tasting. And it rapidly started to grow. In 10 years of business, actually 12 years of business now, we've grown to a 8,000 case production.
Wow.
So we make somewhere just short of 100,000 bottles a year. And sell it all. Nearly 100% of our sales happen right here on site to guests. So we now, in this personal home, have 30,000 visitors a year.
Wow. So people come, taste the wine, love it so much, they buy a case and take it home?
That's exactly what happens. And we have beautiful events, and we have, of course, a wine club where we treat our wine club members like royalty. And it's a very warm environment, a very welcoming environment. And so our business approach has really grown out of a central focus on people rather than the product of wine. And it's been a delight for me to experience how important that is in a business.
Well, what's amazing, though, is that you develop this business out of a culture surrounded around people. And by the way, you got to have some great products or you wouldn't be selling everything that you can bottle.
Yeah. You know, one of the great things that happened to me early on is when we first opened, we attended a startup winery conference. And the gentleman, who I don't even remember his name now, said he was a keynote speaker, spoke for probably an hour. I remember one thing he said out of that hour-long talk, and it was this. If you are opening a winery and you think that your mission is to sell wine, you will absolutely fail. And that really caught my attention.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he said, if, however, you see your mission to serve people, you might succeed.
That's brilliant.
And so I've experienced firsthand the truth of that matter. I have to put a very high-quality product in the bottle. There's no question about that. People aren't going to buy my wine unless it's very high quality. But that's not really what a person comes here for. We see it over and over. Our guest is typically a tourist or a family on a short vacation that is actually desperate to find that this day is different than yesterday. They want something special to happen today. And if that happens, they're going to be pleased to purchase my product. It's been a really enlightening thing for me.
It's very romantic. I may have just fallen in love with Don.
Yeah. I'm in love with his wine. I'm in love with his wine, and I haven't even tasted it.
I know. That's awesome. I mean, what a beautiful point that if you're going to be in the wine business, it's not about wine. It's about serving customers.
Well, you know what? It extends to every product business.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
You know, when I go to get new tires on my car, I'm hoping that when I go in that retail business, that they understand that I'm a unique person with value. And if I see that, I might end up purchasing tires.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, the neat thing about the hospitality industry is just by nature, although every business can get off track when we're chasing sales and dollars and numbers instead of serving people.
Right.
But, I mean, the unique thing about the hospitality industry, at least it's focused on people to start with. The challenge, I guess, then is to keep it there and to grow it there.
Right. Yeah.
For all these 8,000 bottles of wine that you're selling every year, how many people does it take on your team to do? Because, I mean, you're going from grape to barrel to bottle to delivery. I mean, you talk about vertical integration. You guys are start to finish.
Yeah. You know, if someone had told me how complex this business would be the moment I entered it, I would have ran the other way.
You'd still be just hanging in with the pears.
Yes, for sure. We are definitely an agricultural business that has to obey all the agricultural laws and agricultural practices. And then we are also a producer, and we produce a product that needs oversight and quality control. And then we are a hospitality business and an events business, so we have to incorporate all that. And it's quite complicated. In fact, I just hired my first chief financial officer last November because I felt like I just was in over my head, and it's been a great addition to our business. Very complicated business I run, and also very, very rewarding to me.
So, given that you're so engaged in the business of serving people, Don, both your employees as well as your customers, what's your vision for the ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement? What does that look like?
Well, this has really come about from my personal experience. As I said, I'm a scientist, and I am not trained in the field of business nor corporate culture. So this has come about through a decade of personal experience in small family business. But what I find is the climate in my winery is most healthy when the employees are focused not on the simple mission of selling wine, because it's far too tempting to make that the goal. If we sell wine, we're successful. Rather, when my employee is focused, hopefully through my encouragement, on the fact that they are here for the sole purpose of making the world a better place, that is, specifically in providing an experience for the consumer that they'll talk about the rest of their lives. That really is our goal. As a staff, we talk very often about how we hope that this day is a day that the customer will talk about for the rest of their lives, and that's our goal. If the customer leaves with this impression that one of the best things that has ever happened in their lives just happened a moment ago, then we've succeeded.
Yeah.
And that driving force produces joy in an employee's life, because now you're mission focused. You're focused on this ideal of making the world a better place. And that's what really, in the end, what most people hope is that they're here on the earth to make the world a better place.
Well, but what's cool is the way that you've identified it and recognized that a high-performance culture isn't complex. It's about keeping everybody focused on making the world a better place, and it and that in and of itself, when you stay on that track, drives joy, and you end up having a great culture full of engaged workers who are all about making the world a better place.
Right, right.
How simple and how dynamic.
And of course, that's very idealistic. In practical reality, we fall short of that mission every single day. There happens to be situations all the time where my employee gets tired, or a difficult customer presents a challenge in the tasting rooms, or maybe I'm lacking sleep and I say something I wish I hadn't said. So we recognize that we fail at this constantly, but the goal, and sometimes we succeed, the goal is to do exactly that, to make the world a better place. And when you do accomplish it, you know it. When a customer leaves the tasting room and you've accomplished that mission, you know it. And it produces enough joy to get you through the next day.
Quality wine definitely makes the world a better place.
Well, it does. It does.
Absolutely.
But I mean, even more so, driving joy in people's lives makes the world a better place, and it also produces a great wine, as we found out.
Yeah. Well, of course, I hope so. that's my goal.
Well, you're selling everything that you're bottling. You know, you could have worse problems.
Yeah, that's true. We're increasing production again this fall because we simply can't keep up with demand. Well, that's a beautiful problem in today's world.
So are you now getting a lot of repeat customers who go home and want to call up and order another case, or go online and order another case?
Oh, for sure. Like most wineries, we find that our wine club is critical to our survival. And I would say that 40 to 50% of our sales happens through the back door, through the mail, to return customers.
Mm. That's great. We've got to go into another break here. Steve, do you have a lead-in that we want to come to when we come back?
Well, as soon as we get back with Don, I want to hear more about, you know, the downside of where is he seen. You know, he's worked in a big corporate environment before.
Right.
As well as a small business environment. Was it Lockheed Martin that you were a rocket scientist for? I keep calling you a rocket scientist.
I like it. It's fun. It's not completely accurate, but it's fun.
Yeah, you can tell my degree wasn't
it's
anywhere
near. It's kind of
scary
that you worked with nuclear substances and wine at the same time. That could be scary.
Maybe somewhere inside of Don's soul is the first nuclear wine. It's the first nuclear wine.
And
we better go to a break.
And with that, to the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Hey, right now, send us an email, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, or just head to excellentcultures.com right now and click any button that will give you great joy and stellar customer service. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
Hey, we're back with Biz Culture Matters and ExcellentCultures.com talking to Don Wood, the proprietor, CEO, founder, good guy who runs the show at Icicle Ridge Wineries. Don was just telling us before the break how he's grown this family business from a hobby to see what wine tasted like to a whole bunch of vineyards and experimentation and 8,000 bottles of wine being sold a year now. Is that right, Don?
No, that's not quite right. It's 8,000 cases.
8,000 cases. Okay, I was going to say
12 bottles in a case makes us just short of 100,000.
100,000. Okay. I don't know why I was saying 8,000 bottles, but, you know, 8,000 cases certainly is a lot more. So 8,000 cases of wine,
right?
You're a lot bigger than I was thinking. So tell us, I mean, before the break, we were kind of talking about kind of some of the derailers. You know, what I noticed when I first met you and heard you talk about your business is that, you know, that sparkle that you only see in the eyes of somebody that has a great culture. And unfortunately, most people think, well, a great culture means we have a lot of warm and fuzzy people that sit around and hold hands and sing Kumbaya all day long, and automatically payroll gets met and vendors get paid and customers get satisfied. And as you said so well before, you know, before the break, that especially in your business, it's so much more complex than that. Tell us, what are some of the derailers that you've seen? I mean, both when you were in the corporate world as well as now in, you know, in your own business, that are that derail the great culture that you're working on building that puts joy in people's lives.
Yeah, it's a great point. We have grown from a very small, uncapitalized business to a pretty vigorous business that at some points in the year has 35 employees. That has not happened easily. It's been the greatest challenge of my life. And there have been moments when our cash flow was absolutely terrifying, and have been moments when the vendors were not getting paid, and moments when the employees felt that stress. And one of the greatest derailers is, how do you respond in a moment when you know that you're committed to your business, but the business isn't performing like you want it to? Then how do you find the joy in that when you feel like the mission might be failing? I have to say that I feel completely inadequate answering that question because I've failed many times in that. But I do know this, that if the corporate environment holds that at the top of the organization, you care more about people than you care about cash, it will flow down to every single person. So I think there's, at least I hope in my business, there's this underlying vibe that if things get the worst they can possibly get, we're going to care more about you than we care about the survival of the business. it's really a simple thing. It's about commitment. It's just like how a family operates. If you are sure that your parents are committed to you, more than anything else in their lives, it's going to provide stability in your life. And the employee wants that too. The employee wants to know that the employer has more of a commitment to them than to the bottom line. Now, you get sort of many mixed messages in the corporate world because you get this message so often that the business has to survive first, that cash flow is everything, that if you're not running the black, then someone's going to lose their job. So, of course, it has to be balanced, but for me, I want my employees to know that I am going to hold them higher than any possible profit.
What I hear you saying, and I'm going to repeat this again, I want to make sure that you get this message across, because, I mean, what you're saying is huge.
Yeah.
If you care more about people than you do about cash, then the cash comes. This is almost like if you build it, they will come.
Well, yeah, I want to be careful about that because I don't really believe it. I believe that some good businesses fail, and some good businesses with great corporate environments fail. So what do you do if you have a great corporate environment and the business falters? I haven't been to that extent yet, so I don't know, but I hope that if that happens to me and me and my employees, or excuse me, my employees and I have to part ways, I hope they'll say, the business failed and it was out of our control, but Don was always committed to me.
Yeah.
Now, it's an honest commitment to the humans. So I have to, of course, do everything I can to make this business survive. They're relying on me to do that. But when it gets out of my control, I'm going to hold them higher than I hold the cash.
Amazing perspective.
Are there, I mean, could you give us some practicalities of how you've had to do that in the past?
Well,
like what was the hard decision that you, hard decisions you've had to make that possible?
Right. There came a point in my business not too long ago where it was really clear that either, from some of my advisors, the point was clear that we needed to downsize employees in order to maintain the profitability that was my goal.
That's that CFO that you just hired.
Partly, yeah, and then some other business advisors as well. And basically the message was, we need to let people go. We need to downsize. We need to run a tighter ship. And my response at that point was, what are our options? Because before we do that, I have to investigate every other option.
Mm-hmm.
So recently we embarked on an effort to expand our business, to expand sales. It's taken a great effort on my part, and we're still undergoing that change. But the only alternative to changing the workforce was to expand sales. Well, of course, I'm thankful I have the opportunity to do that. At least I have a creative way to try to expand sales. So we're expanding the business in some areas. But that will and is resulting in the lack of necessity to downsize. So I'm not saying that this is always the answer. It just so happens
right.
That for my business at this point, that was the answer. Instead of being approaching the business from a fearful point of view and just downsizing to get the bottom line better.
Well, I think
I decided we needed to change the corporation to make sure that we took care of the people that I had committed myself to.
Yeah. Well, I think you said it very, very large just a second ago. I mean, this will be a great tweet, but that instead of approaching it from a fear point of view, you approached it from a how can we change point of view.
Absolutely.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
And it obviously worked.
Yes. Yes. I'm thankful that it has worked. We're a small business, and the employees that I work with literally become part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like family to me. So I do everything I can to try to secure their positions. That's all I know at this point. You know, I'm 12 years into our family business, 12 years into growth, and that's the approach I want to take now. I hope that it can continue through the rest of my career, that I can take care of people like I promised them I would.
So as you look at, I mean, the news has been full of, really since last fall, you know, the latest Gallup employee engagement poll. You know, now, once again, you know, they do this poll every 2 years. We're still at 70%+ of our American workforce disengaged, meaning that folks go to work, but they go to work in order to get off to go do what they really want to do after work. And their paycheck is kind of the, you know, pass-through that happens in the process. This year, the Gallup poll went as far as to say that 18% actually said in the confidential poll that they hated their boss and that they hated their jobs and that the most common cause of hating their jobs is hating their boss. So
yeah.
We got a lot of disengaged folks out there, but it sounds like at iSchool Ridge, that is not the case because of two things that I've heard you say, and I want you to reiterate these to our listeners because they're really critical, and they work and will continue to work in any size of a business. The first thing that I heard you say was that this focus, you know, this larger mission focus on making the world a better place as a result of what we do at iSchool Ridge Winery that put joy, which is kind of the opposite of disengagement, into people.
Yeah. Right.
And then the second thing I heard you say is that If you can keep your focus on serving people instead of about dollars and cents, that seems to make a significant difference. Anything else in the, you know, advice that you could give to business leaders and business owners that you've learned about keeping folks engaged and having an engaged workforce that don't fall into that 70% disengaged workers?
Other than free wine.
Yes. I think what I'd like to do is just emphasize that second point. I'm very positive that the best way I could possibly sell wine is to have a staff member, that is the person that's interfacing with the customer, have a staff member that creates a warm, incredible experience for the customer. That's the best way for me to sell wine. If I teach my staff to just talk about the merits of the wine and explain why it's worth the dollars the guest is going to spend, it will not be successful. However, if my staff member is able to create an experience that significantly impacts the customer, that's when I will sell wine. So if that's true, and it is, what's the smartest thing I could do for my business? It would be to have happy, well-adjusted, engaged employees in the tasting room. And so how do you do that? How do you make that your priority, your focus in your business? It's my opinion, as I've said before, that really what every person in the world wants as they wake up in the morning is to know that whatever they're going to do that day is going to make the world a better place. And the moment you feel like you're just a tool to be used by the corporation, it makes it hard to show up. If you, however, believe and honestly believe that you're making the world a better place, it's going to impact your whole presence in the workplace. And that translates, of course, to sales for me. Some parts of this seem a little, it's been said before, but I'm telling you from my personal experience, I'm living it. I'm experiencing the reality of that, that a happy employee makes a successful business.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds like what you're doing is way beyond just, you know, building happiness. It sounds like you're building happiness that spreads in the form of hospitality, joy-filled hospitality, for lack of a better way to describe it, and that's what's driving your sales.
Right, absolutely.
We got to go to a break, guys, but Don, when we get back, we're going to want to hear about the smooth tannins.
Let's do that.
We got to hear. All right, guys, we're going to a break. Hit right now your email, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. Get to the website. Sign up for an online culture assessment for free right now. We will be right back on Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
And we are back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. I am your host, Zach Andra, and we have with us always Steve, the inimitable Gandra, and our guest, Don Wood of Icicle Ridge Wineries, right here in the wonderful, glorious state of Washington. And we've been hearing a lot about the business. We've been hearing a lot about the welcoming family atmosphere at Icicle Ridge, but we have not heard a lot yet about our PhD, Don Wood, who's a research chemist with expertise in nuclear liquid separations, but now he's started a business and a winery, but he's also in a jazz band.
I've been a saxophonist all my life. And one of the great things about the wine industry is that you get all these really rich cultural experiences. And of course, I've sort of built a natural place for me to perform. So we started a band. I have a twin brother, and he's the keyboardist in my band. We together started a band a few years ago that we've called Smooth Tannins.
Nice.
And you can go to iTunes and find us there.
Incredible.
It's really a blend of jazz and funk. It's high-energy funk, all instrumental. And it's one of the greatest things in my life. I get to play at my place of business in front of welcoming crowds Yeah, very cool thing for me.
And the more they enjoy your jazz, the more they buy your wine.
Well, yeah, that tends to be the case. So,
that's perfect.
If they're having a good time, they tend to buy wine.
So what you're telling me is if I'm an employee with Icicle Ridge at the Christmas party, I get serenaded by the Smooth Tannins every year.
Actually, we try to do very special things at our Christmas parties for our staff. Hopefully they don't have to listen to me play saxophone every time.
What are some of the things that you really highlight with your team and your staff to build the family atmosphere that you've shared so much with us about?
It starts with our corporate tagline, of course. Our staff members are all trained in what our mission is and what our marketing efforts are. And so the tagline for the winery is, welcome to an experience, welcome to the family, welcome home. And while it's rather long, once you've been to our tasting room, it completely fits the experience that you have when you enter this place. We create a very unusual, even among other wineries, a very unusual experience. It's incredibly welcoming. Our guests sit down at a large log table and enjoy tasting wine with their friends, and they're served at the tables for their wine tasting. We really emphasize a welcoming atmosphere. So when I have a new employee that enters our business, we sit down and we chat about the fact that something I see in our culture is that many people are lacking this authentic feeling of a safe home to be part of. So many people in our culture today lack that safety and security. And if we can give them a little slice of what it feels to be part of a family that's welcoming and warm in this place, then we've succeeded in our mission. That's
beautiful. Yeah, well, what a great business strategy as well. Great business strategy. You know, just in listening to these nice, pithy, simple points of view that you've built your culture around so well, Don, it reminds me of over the years, at Excellent Cultures, we spent 37 years studying high-performance businesses and high-performance cultures. And so many people, when you talk about culture, it really means something different to everybody. But if you look up the dictionary definition, it has to do with the shared beliefs and the shared values, you know, that drive the behavior and the process and the communication and the thought patterns of anybody on a team or an organization. But so many people think that a great culture is just this warm and fuzzy, everybody's happy, sing kumbaya kind of experience. But it's not. It's that and. I mean, it's a high-performance culture that runs circles around competitors who, you know, only look at the numbers and don't look at the people. You know, here in Seattle, we're so fortunate because, you know, we have the Seahawks who just demonstrated that, you know, in the Super Bowl, where you've got the opposing coach saying, wow, we ran into a buzzsaw, and scratching his head wondering, you know, what in the world were all of the elements of that buzzsaw? It sounds like when you're making 8,000 cases a year and selling every single one of them and looking for creative ways to increase your production and buying grapes from other folks to do that, your culture's got to be working way beyond just people feeling happy and warm and fuzzy and comfortable. It sounds like they're enjoying what they do so much that it's driving the numbers in your business, and your customers are enjoying every bit of it.
Yeah, actually, I had a lot of people within our industry study my business model because it's puzzling to them, and I understand why. It's a dream for a winery to be able to sell their product direct to a customer without having to worry about distribution costs, and we do sell essentially 100% of our product direct to a customer's hand, so I maintain all the margin myself, and for that to expand to the level that we're at, sell every one of those bottles at full price and at quite high prices. I mean, within the Washington wine industry, we're at an ultra-premium price point. So on paper, sometimes I think people think that it won't work. But what we found is that if you treat people with respect and you honor the fact that they've come to you looking for an experience, they are more willing to spend the money on your product that will keep your business afloat.
What a great philosophy. What a great philosophy. So, Don, put your coach's hat on here for a second and, you know, give some advice to other business leaders, you know, large and small, because you've worked in both, to, you know, what can they do, you know, what can we do in America to reestablish true cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement where, you know, we don't have these daunting statistics coming in telling us that 70% of our workforce is disengaged?
I've thought about that issue a lot. Honestly, this is not a simple answer. From my observation, a couple of generations ago, this included my father, a big sector of the American workforce were blue-collar workers that worked for corporations that they trusted. They, for the most part, trusted that this corporation was going to provide them a retirement, some sort of pension that would help them be faithful to their families in their later years. It was sort of this understanding, sometimes naively, but I think for the most part accurately, that the corporation that they spent their life with was going to honor their promise to them to take care of them. And I've, in my lifetime, seen that disappear. I feel like the American corporate environment has abandoned its promise to its employees.
Yes, it has.
The only answer, and it's not an easy one, the only answer is for the heart of the CEO and the board of directors and the stockholders to have an authentic change in the way they see the world. That is, people are more important than profits. You know, what I'm saying, it will be very unpopular in a lot of business growth circles. You have to maintain the highest percentage profit you possibly can, and hope to keep the employee happy at the same time. And I just don't buy into it. I believe that the biggest reward a corporation could have at the end of their career is to know that they were faithful to their employees. That authenticity will flow down to an employee who will be thrilled to show up at work in the morning.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting in listening to you say that, like I said earlier, for 37 years we've been studying what creates great high-performance cultures in organizations, and it's very much exactly what you're talking about. there you can get a lot of short-term success by driving numbers. You know, and we've heard this from everybody from businesses of your size to Fortune 500 CEOs and chairmen, yeah. that, you know, that people are everything. People are everything if you're in the business for the long haul. If right. you're just looking for something, you know, short term and a quick hit, you can drive numbers for a while, but, it doesn't last. And sometimes just ends in horrible disasters that we see, you know, hear about on the news in scandals and all sorts of corporate debacles. But listeners, as you're listening to this, we have tools available at excellentcultures.com, complimentary tools. I mean, you can go online and take the Biz Culture MRI very quickly and, you know, in 7 minutes, measure your business culture up against the kind of culture that Don's talking about that he's built here at Icicle Ridge Wineries, a culture that is based upon high performance that is the fruit of joyful people who love what they're doing, who feel like they're making a difference in the world. They go the extra mile, they put in extra effort, they do things that disengaged workers don't do, and Don is demonstrating it. You know, besides that, they get a bonus of listening to smooth jazz whenever he pulls his saxophone out. And we haven't quite figured out the business strategy behind that, other than the more people enjoy listening to your music, the more of your wine they buy.
The smooth tannins.
Yeah, the smooth tannins. Any closing comments you can give us, Don? You know, closing tips, you know, if you were to think of one line of what can a business leader do to make a difference for the long haul and the success of their business, what would it be?
Well, I think it's very simple. I guess if I could say a single phrase to someone who wants to improve the corporate environment within or culture within their corporation, is simply this: authentically care for the employee. Mm. Do what's right for the employee. In the end, will make a world of difference, both in their lives and in your bottom line.
And you're going to have a wealth of relationships along with that.
Oh, that's absolutely. That's well said. And for me, it's what I value. At the end of my life, I hope I look back and say, I had rich relationships with my friends and with my employees and my family. If my employees are engaged in a rich relationship with me, it's the highest reward.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. It's been great hearing from you, Don, and your romanticism. Not only in the wine industry, but in the business and your life is pretty rad. You exude smooth jazz.
Yes, you do. Yeah, smooth jazz. I can hardly wait to taste some of that Icicle Ridge wine.
There you go.
You know,
with some smooth jazz.
You got us chomping at the bit to pay the premium price point right
there
now.
You go. There you go.
I'd be thrilled to send it to you guys.
So what's the website, Don, that people can go to?
Icicle Ridge Winery. All Perfect. One word, icicleridgewinery.com. And Perfect. We have a website where you can direct order. We'd really prefer you visit our tasting room so we can get to know you.
Yeah, that sounds like the party I want to be at right there.
We want to be at that party.
All right, guys, we have to chime out. What a great show. You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. Keep listening. Keep tuning in. Send an email now. Ask the experts at excellentcultures.com. See you next week.